نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين علماء الكرام respected brothers, elders and sisters listening over the receivers we continue with the topic of ikhlas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the ayat that has been recited, O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some ulama explained that this taqwa is to create a barrier, a shield between ourselves and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqeen. And remain in the company of those people who are truthful, those people who have understood the real meaning of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Rahmatullahi alayhi explains that in order for us to obtain this very precious and valuable commodity of ikhlas, then we need to remain in the suhbat of the people of ikhlas. Our mashayikh, our ulama, their hearts are reservoirs of ikhlas. Because of the mujahada that they have made over the years, the effect of the mujahada, as Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali explains, is that ikhlas develops within their hearts. So we have been commanded to remain in their company. And this command or this verse of the Quran Sharif continues till the end of time, which means that we will always be able to find the sadiqeen. Irrespective of the conditions that we may have or that may prevail upon us, if we search, we will always be able to find those people that will assist us in bringing ikhlas into our lives. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he says that, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي جَسَدِ مُضْغَى, that every body has a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If that piece of flesh is rectified, if it is purified, then the entire body or the entire person will be rectified and will be on the straight path. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. And if that piece of flesh is corrupt, if that piece of flesh lacks the required amount of purification, then the entire body, the entire person, all of the actions, etc., will all be corrupt. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. That this piece of flesh is the heart. And Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali explains that the heart is the container of the precious commodity of ikhlas. If we take an example of our anger, we find that anger itself is not something that is haram. In fact, anger is necessary in certain situations. A person is going out in jihad in order to have that bravery and to fight against the enemy. That anger has to be in there. But the requirement is for us to use the anger in the correct place. As it gives an example, that you find that there is a father and he has a son who does everything for him. He sees to his needs, he runs his business, he provides him with food, shelter, anything that he needs, he provides it to the father. However, this son is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not perform his salah. He does not obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in most cases, you will find that the father will say that I've got a wonderful son. I've got no issue with him. Everything he does for me, he helps me, he runs my business. I don't have to wake up in the morning. Everything is now taken care of. I've handed the reins over to him. And the father is very satisfied. Whereas you find another child who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He performs his salah, etc. But perhaps on occasion, he does something to upset the parents. And the parents take it out on him. And they become very upset with him. So Hazrat explains that in this instance, our pleasure and our anger is not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means that there is insincerity in the anger that we have. Our anger itself lacks the requirement of ikhlas. We should be angry for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be happy for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That father that is happy with his child, who gives him all the material comforts of this world, but is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that father has not recognized the fact that this child will be unsuccessful in the akhirat. In this instance, the requirement is for him to show anger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that this precious commodity of ikhlas can be obtained through the company of the people that have this ikhlas in their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the opportunity to be in the company of those people and to benefit from them. Hazrat mentions that ikhlas is not something that will come overnight. There is a period and a process for us to bring ikhlas in all of our ibadat. He mentions that sometimes we may be doing something, we may be carrying out an ibadat, but we may be doing it for riyah, for show, or we don't have enough ikhlas in it. That does not mean that we should stop that particular ibadat. A person is performing salah, and he's doing it out of show. Hazrat says that he should continue doing it. Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that a person may start an amal out with riyah, but as he continues to be punctual upon that ibadat, he will soon realize that I am not getting anything out of this due to my show or my riyah. For example, a person is performing salah, tilawat, zikr, tahajjud, etc. Eventually he will realize that I am not getting anything from the people by carrying out this ibadat. And slowly ikhlas will develop in that particular action. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Damat Barakatuhum says that sometimes when we have an inkling to do a good action, then shaitan will whisper into us to say that if you do this, perhaps so and so will see you and think that, you know, this is a big buzruq. For example, we come into the masjid and the thought enters into our heart that we should perform 2 rakat salat tahiyatul masjid. But we think to ourselves that, you know, if somebody is looking at me, they may think, hey, this person is a buzruq. Or we're sitting in the masjid before salah and we could open the Quran Sharif, or we could pick up a tasbih and we could perform some zikrullah. But the thought comes into our heart, or shaitan puts this thought into our heart, that perhaps someone might look at you and think, look at this person, he's become extremely pious. So Mufti Saab explains that at that time, we should accept the invitation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into our hearts immediately. And we should carry out that particular action. This is an invitation that has come from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we carry out that action immediately, inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the tawfiq to have ikhlas in there and for us to continue with that action. So we conclude and we mention that example that Hazrat Rahmatullahi alayhi had given so many times. In fact, this example is engraved in our hearts and engraved on the tongues of little children and put on frames, etc., in the walls of homes. When Hazrat went to one of his trips, if I recall correctly, in Mauritius, there was a person that came to him and said that, I am in the khidmat of my parents. I do everything for them. I look after them, I see to their needs, etc., sometimes at the expense of my own family. And I have a brother, and this brother does absolutely nothing. He continues with his own business, and he does nothing by way of khidmat for our parents. Yet, my parents always praise him. They can never find any fault with him. But rather, they always take me to task over various different issues. And I feel extremely despondent, because I am the one that's doing all of the work and the effort, etc. So Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali mentioned something to him, which is obviously something that is applicable to all of us. And it is those golden words wherein he said, do for Allah's pleasure, and Allah will give you from His treasure. Do for Allah's pleasure, and Allah will give you from His treasure. So much so that Hazrat mentions that when he met this brother again, this brother was so impressed with this statement that he said, please mention it to me again so that I can engrave it into my heart. So Hazrat says that the effect of bringing ikhlas into one's life is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless the person with contentment, with qana'at, and with happiness in that ibadat that he is doing. This is the effect of bringing ikhlas in our ibadat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to become mukhlis. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.